as we are celebrating. So if you have your Bibles open, would you turn with me to, you're already there if you have your Bibles open, pardon me. Would you stand with me as we read the Word of God together in honor of His Word? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, that when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Father, thank You for Your Word, and Father, thank You for the message that you have for us today. And God, I pray that You would anoint it, that You'd bless it. God, that these would be Your words for us today. Father, that it would encourage us, that it would give us hope. And Father, I thank You today that You came to bring hope. You came to bring peace. You came to bring joy. And You came to bring love. And God, I thank You for those fourth meanings of Advent. But Father, especially today, Lord God, that You would bring Your hope into our lives. And Father, that in a season we would not forget why we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to talk about some groups of people today. And certainly they'll be clear in your mind as we talk about them, but I want to talk a little bit about what was going on in the world during the time Jesus came. And you know what's amazing to me is that God had to, from the beginning, set a time aside for Jesus to come. And Galatians chapter 4 tells us very succinctly that it was in the fullness of the time. That there was a time, the time that was chosen for Jesus to come. When that fullness came to be, God sent forth His Son through the Holy Spirit, empowering itself over Mary, and she conceived a holy seed. His name is Jesus. But let's talk about the first crowd of people. We're going to kind of work our way out from the main city, which is Jerusalem today. And certainly, it is the world. It is what was happening in the world. The Roman Empire was ruling the world, and the Jews were subservient to them, and they were underneath their law. And so, all of a sudden, three or however many men, the Magi, we always say three because they brought three gifts, but there may have been more than three. They came to Herod, and we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born of Bethlehem in Judea in the days of King Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east from Jerusalem, or to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod and the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was worried with him. When Jesus came to earth, it was a matter of time, and Herod was going to find out that Jesus came. Wise men came. They came to Herod, and they said, "Herod, where's the king of the Jews?" Well, Herod was king. And Herod didn't want to give up his kingdom, his reign, his throne. And so when he heard that there was a king of the Jews, not only was it a slave king, but it was a king that would usurp his authority and take away his rulership. And he was troubled at what the Magi said. And the wise men that came said, "You know, certainly we've seen his star, and we've come from the east, we've come to Jerusalem to seek the king of the Jews." Now, in the back of my mind, as I'm reading through the story, maybe you've asked the same question too. Why did the star lead the wise men to Jerusalem? Why didn't the star lead the wise men to Bethlehem? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did the star lead the wise men to Jerusalem? Well, certainly in the wise men's eyes, Jerusalem was the capital city in that area. Certainly if there was a king or royalty, that's where he would be. But the star led him to Jerusalem for two different reasons. And here's the first reason. In Matthew chapter 4, if we follow the text, it says, "When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." Herod knew that if he was going to find out where the king of the Jews was to be born, he had to contact the chief priests and the scribes of the law. So the wise men come to Herod. They say, "Herod, there's a new king coming. Where is he?" Herod says, "I have no idea. But if he's of the Jews, I got to call the scribes, the Pharisees of the Jewish nation. They're going to tell me where he's at." He had ulterior motives, I know, for knowing this thing. But that's one reason why God brought the star over Jerusalem for the wise men to follow. Because the Jews were to make notice that their king had come. The church of that day, Judaism, needed to know that their king had come. their Messiah was born. You see, with a star going right to Bethlehem, no one would have known that Jesus was born of the church of that day. But the star led, I believe, one of the reasons why, this is my thinking, the star led the wise men to Jerusalem to bear notice to the king or to the chief priests and to the scribes and Pharisees that their Messiah had come. Because they knew that, they had an obligation to do one of two things, either accept it or reject it. But God wanted the Israelite nation to never say, "I didn't tell you he wasn't coming. I told you when he came." So that's the first reason. The second reason was so Herod would be fulfilling prophecy. As things happened in the crowd in Jerusalem, he began to be troubled and said, "What am I going to do? There's a king coming." Let's follow the text in Matthew chapter 7, or chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring word back to me that I may come and worship him also.'" Well, we know how the story goes. Herod had no intent of worshiping the baby or the young child. He had no intent of giving honor and glory to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the Jews. He was going there to take care of business so his throne was secure. So he told the wise men, "Tell you what I want you to do. What time does the star appear?" And by the timing of what they told him, he knew exactly how long this Messiah should have been around at that time. And he knew how to make things safe. So as the wise men went down, he was already planning in his mind what he was going to do. "As soon as they come back, I'll send some soldiers down. We'll find this young man, this young lad, and we're going to kill him so that my throne is secure and there's not another king that rises up for the Jews." Seemed like a good plan. Except God knew what Herod was thinking. And so God told Joseph, "You know what? You're going to have to get rid of this place you're living. And you're going to have to flee." But what was the attitude of the crowd in Jerusalem and the crowd among the Roman Empire? They were troubled at the word given to them by the wise men. They were troubled because they realized the king had come. They had no idea what he was going to do, how he would rule. And the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees all knew at that moment that it was time for the Messiah to come on the scene. Well, you know how the story goes. The wise men, in a dream, were told by God not to go back to Herod, but to go home a different way. So after they left Bethlehem, after giving the gifts, they went home through a different route, and as soon as Herod found out that he was deceived, he went and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years of age and under. And the Bible says, as of the time the wise men told him, the star appeared. So Herod had a very heinous plan in place to get rid of the Messiah. Orchestrated, I believe, supernaturally. Inspired supernaturally to get rid of this king. But we'll talk about the heavenly crowd in just a moment. The crowd around Jerusalem was troubled. The Roman Empire was troubled. And as soon as the authorities heard about this, they all wondered, what was this king going to do? Was he going to cause a revolt among the Jews? And was Rome going to lose their servants, their slaves, their people that were giving money to the Roman Empire? They didn't know what was going to happen. And they were afraid of what Jesus was going to bring. The second thing that we see, the crowd, is the Bethlehem crowd. I kind of call them the clueless crowd, because they didn't have any idea what was happening in their midst. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 1, the Christmas story, as you've heard it read many times. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and the census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." As Mary and Joseph and the pregnant Mary and Joseph went into Bethlehem to be registered, The city had no idea what was going to happen that night. If they had, they would have had the best room ready at the best inn and had all of the people that were needed there to have a successful and safe birth there. So they made sure that the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had the very best coming into earth. But God never uses man's ways to do anything he does he? In fact, he likes to make his own rules sometimes. We call that his sovereignty. But God sometimes will change the rules. He'll make the rules different than what man wants to see. And all it does is prove to us that we don't think as God does. We never have. We never will. Anybody who thinks they're smart and they know what God's doing has already failed the test. God asks us to trust him with the things we don't know. And certainly Bethlehem did not know what was happening in their city that night. As it was, there was no place for them to go. Everybody else who was of the lineage of David was already there, had gobbled up all the rooms, and it was just a place out of the way in a manger where Jesus was to be born. A very humble beginning for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who was there to witness it? The animals. The animals. Because it wasn't some time afterwards that the shepherds finally came, and we're going to read about that in just a moment, but the ones who were there were God's creation. God's creation witnessed the coming of the Messiah. Man was not worthy to witness his coming. Just his creation. Well, heaven couldn't hold back anymore. Had to send some angels down to some shepherds, and in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we read about that. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And let's jump down to verse number 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let's now go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Already, Jesus' story is being told. Now, we're not hearing about Jesus as the Savior of the world yet. We're hearing about Jesus as the Messiah, the King, the rightful King, the King of the lineage of David. Both Mary and Joseph were of David's lineage, as we find out in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. And so there was a king born to this couple. And all of heaven was excited. The shepherds were excited. We got to see the child that was promised us. And the angel said, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The world didn't even know him yet, didn't know what he was going to do, didn't know what he was going to be about in his adult life, but knew that something special had happened because the shepherds came and told them the great news. What a fantastic story to hear from the most of humble. Shepherds were considered the lowest of the totem pole. How do we know that? Well, if you go back into Genesis, you find out that when Joseph was coming with his brothers, he said, when you go to Pharaoh, don't tell him you're shepherds. Whatever you do, don't tell him you're shepherds, because shepherds are looked down upon in every culture. So what did they do? They told him they're shepherds. They didn't listen too well, did they? But shepherds weren't considered to be of the upper echelon of society. And anybody of you here had sheep? Anybody had sheep? Okay. After you're with them for a while, you start to smell like the sheep. And so everywhere shepherds went, guess what? The smell of the sheep followed them. And so they were looked down upon by society. And how is it by God? He says, the foolish things of this world will confound the mighty. And the weak things of this world will confound the things that are mighty or strong. And how often God does that? He uses the most unlikely things to bring about the most gracious and powerful changes. And he used the lowest of society to be the witnesses of the babe laying in a manger in swaddling clothes. But there was something else going on. We've talked about the crowd in Jerusalem. We talked about the Bethlehem crowd who was so busy that only the shepherds knew what was going on. And then we have the heavenly crowd. What was going on in the heavenlies during the time that Jesus had come? You know, all of creation was waiting for Jesus to come. And all of heaven was waiting for Jesus to come. In fact, in 1 Peter, it tells us in chapter 1, verse 20, that he had been indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world to be our Savior. So guess what? The angels knew that Jesus, the Son, or the Son of God, had agreed to come as a Messiah, but they were waiting for the day when God would bring him to the earth. And you think that they were excited? Absolutely they were excited. It was a chance for God to redeem his creation and redeem man. The Bible tells us the angels, they want to seek and learn about salvation. Why? Because it's such a beautiful act of love. It's not for the angels, it's for us as human beings to experience God's love this way, but they desire to look into these things. And so all of heaven was waiting for the day that Jesus was going to be born. They were waiting for the day that God the Son would come in flesh and be the incarnate God, the incarnate deity, to bring man back to God. And they were waiting for that time, and it was such a glorious event that God sent a bunch of angels down in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 10. It's the part that we skipped over in the previous text. Then the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, because they couldn't hold back anymore, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. That means a number that can't be counted. A multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God's goodwill, God's favor resting upon man. They were so excited, they began to praise God and praise him for the event that had just taken place. Jesus had come. And all of heaven was rejoicing. You got to believe that was just one little crew of the millions of angels up in heaven who are also rejoicing at the coming of Jesus Christ. A glorious event in the heavenlies, I'm sure. But there was somebody else who was watching the coming of the Messiah. I want to read about him. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. It sounds like an unlikely scripture, but I want to read this for you. John said, "Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery and red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne." I bet you never thought about that verse as being the Christmas story, did you? We had a pastor's meeting Wednesday, and we were talking about this very thing. One of the pastors said, "Have you ever considered this?" I said, "No, you know what? That's really, really good." And with his permission, I got a chance to use it today. But we talked thoroughly about this, how Satan was waiting also. Knew also that Jesus was coming, he had to stop it. Just like the Grinch had to stop Christmas from coming. But it came anyway. And here comes Jesus on the scene. And what does it say in Revelation chapter 12? It says he stood at the feet of the woman, ready to devour the child as soon as it was born. How do we see that playing out on earth? Satan inspires Herod to kill all the babies 2 years and younger. "I'll get rid of this one. I don't care if he's born, but I'll get rid of him." But as we know in the story that God told Mary and Joseph, "Get out of here. The one who's seeking him is going to kill him." And as soon as they didn't find him, they killed all the babies. And then they were brought back into Nazareth when Herod was dead. So we see that Satan, from the time that Jesus was conceived and they knew that Jesus was coming, was planning an event to devour the child as soon as it was born. He was going to orchestrate something to defeat this plan of salvation. The only problem is God knew what was going on too. Aren't you grateful God knew all these things and he provides safety for the Messiah? So the Messiah could grow up and he could be our Savior, our Lord, our Master. But in three verses in Revelation chapter 12 is encapsulated the Christmas story and the life of Jesus Christ. But the child was caught up into heaven. You see, after Jesus was born, he lived just a brief life here on earth. And during that time, Satan knew his edict from the Father was flawless. It was perfect. He was the perfect Messiah. He was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the only chance that he had to upset God's plan was to make Jesus fail. The only chance he had to succeed in his plan on domineering this earth that he was given the authority over was to make sure the Messiah never met the qualifications of the blameless and blemishless sacrifice for sin. How did he do that? Well, as soon as Jesus received the mantle by the Holy Spirit, as soon as he was baptized, he was sent into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and he was tempted by the enemy. And from that day, Satan tempted him through his whole ministry, waiting for an opportunity to take away his perfection, to take away his purity, to take away his messiahship, to take away the fact that he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He was the everlasting God, the mighty Prince of Peace. To take away the right that he had, not only to be the King and Lord, but to be the Savior of man. And all this begins at the hinging of the Christmas story. A worldwide impact. Never to be duplicated, never to be done again. It says very clearly in God's Word that he'll never do this again. He's already put everything in place for man to accept Jesus and his gift. Jesus has done it so that we might be reconciled to the Heavenly Father and that we might know relationship with God. I'd like the orchestra to begin coming up forward. We're going to do one last song as we close the service today. And as they do, I want you just to ponder this thought with me as we get ready to close the service. There are three basic types of people that we've talked about today in the message. The first one was the ones that were excited about his arrival, the people, the shepherds, the angels, excited about the fact that Jesus came. They knew that God had a plan, they knew God had a purpose for this whole thing, and they were grateful and so thankful and so excited that this finally came, that the fullness of the time had come. God sent his son, born of a woman. What a great promise that Paul gives us, that this was all planned by God, and they were so excited. There were also people that were just troubled at the coming of Jesus. All of Jerusalem and the Roman Empire were troubled at this coming king, and what would this king do? How would he affect life as they knew it? What would happen to their control over the Jewish nation? What would happen to their control over the known world at that time? And they were worried about what was happening in the future for them. And then you had the people who were totally clueless and oblivious to the fact that Jesus came. The people in Bethlehem. But you know something? Jesus is coming again, church. He's not only just coming once, he's coming back. And you know, the same three types of people exist prior to Jesus' second advent as they do when Jesus first came. You've got people who are excited about him coming. How many would raise a hand and say, I'm excited about Jesus coming back? Amen? That's us. That's the believers. That's the church. That's the people who trust in God. Then there are those who are worried about Jesus coming back because they haven't got their life right with God. They know they should be living, what they're doing is wrong. They know they should be living differently, and they're not. And they're worried about what the coming of Jesus the second time means for them. And then you got people that are clueless. That don't know, and they don't care, that there was one that loves them more than anyone. Where do you find yourself in that three groups of people? Are you excited? Are you worried? Or are you clueless this morning? My prayer, my hope is that you're excited about the coming of the Messiah. But if you're not excited about Jesus just coming back and just finally saying, that's it, you're done, I'll leave all this behind. I don't care. I don't want to take it with me. But there are so many that are so worried about what they possess that it takes away their joy of Jesus coming back again. My hope is that you're excited for the coming of the Messiah, that you're like the shepherds who say, you know what? Whoever we meet, we have to tell about the coming of this child. And I'll tell you, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have that same calling today, that whoever we meet, we are to tell about the coming of Jesus. Not just his first advent, but his second as well. As we get ready to close this morning, we're going to do a song called O Holy Night.